Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure. Welcome to another week of Talking Trash.
We are,
talking some trash.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's nothing particularly, like, different from previous entries here. I was trying to think if there was, like, something unique or unusual going on, but not really,
no.
It's a Monday evening.
It is. yeah, we record these at very random times.
Yeah.
Because we both work, and we're just, like, trying to find time to get together and watch movies.
There's no consistency this year, and I'm okay with that.
Yep. Cheers, 2020.
Yep. Happy having the entire week off for Thanksgiving, though.
Woo! Happy Thanksgiving, fam.
Yes.
It's a good week for some turkey and for some social distancing.
Yep.
Some Skyping to see your family.
Yep. Can I be corny and cliche? What's one thing that you are thankful for this year that previous years you may not have thought about and been thankful for?
Weirdly enough, I'm thankful for the time that I got to spend at home. Because while it sucked, in my boredom, I had, like, a spark of creativity. I'm working towards opening an Etsy shop based on all the things that I've made. I make flower crowns.
Which is lovely.
And we've started a podcast, which I don't think would have happened.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for 2020.
I agree.
Felt like there was something else that I could be doing or, like, you know, work or whatever. But, like,
yeah.
This has kind of pushed my creative side. So that's what I'm thankful for this year.
Yeah.
What about you, Lizzie? What are you thankful for?
I think this year, There's, like, a couple things running through my mind. I am really thankful for how many, and this goes into all areas of my life, but this year I'm particularly thankful for empathy and encouragement, and I feel like I've seen so much of that from people in my life in a way I haven't before. Like, everyone is really giving each other a lot of grace this year. People have been, like, really kind and checking up even when they don't really need to. And it's just been really sweet. So,
yeah,
that's
a good one.
That's my thankfulness this year.
I feel like everyone else is a lot more empathetic and understanding to me than I am to myself.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to be like, oh yeah, we're in the middle of a pandemic and you can't just, like, expect the same things of yourself that you would in a year where you're, like, thriving.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of times where I'm like, but I should be better than this. And then someone's like, no, you're doing your best. And your best is great. So
it's so much easier to say that to someone else.
It is.
Than it is to say it to yourself.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. But, yeah. It's definitely been a year where I feel like I've learned a lot.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of people in my life who have been really great and who have taught me a lot of things. So,
yeah. Personal growth year.
Here's to 2020 being almost done. 2021, I swear to God, if you are not nice, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to cry a lot. Give me a break, please. Cheers, 2020.
Cheers,
never come back.
Thank goodness that's how time works.
I thought 2016 was bad.
Right? Remember when all the memes were about, like, 2016's the worst?
Right? Like, Harambe happened.
That was in 2016?
Oh, that was 2016. And then David Bowie happened.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Because my coworker and I, we ended up, like, she ran into my room and was like, oh my god, David Bowie died. And we both were, like, crying, and then we just blared David Bowie for the next, like, 3 days. And then Prince died, and we repeated the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2016 was not the year.
Gosh, I can't believe I've forgotten that.
Yeah, 2016 was just the year of, like, really tragic celebrity deaths. But then again, 2020 got Chadwick Boseman, so...
Chadwick Boseman was really hard this year.
Yeah. For some reason, that one hit, like, so hard that it feels surreal.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, David Bowie, I, like, accepted it, and it was sad, but, like, yeah. Chadwick Boseman, I'm like, no. No, no.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's definitely been a weird one.
Yep. As we've said before, this whole year has just been a weird year.
It has.
And I think I've also said this before, it has been a year where, you know, kind of in, like, that kind of giving yourself grace mode, I have been letting myself just sort of relish and relive, like, just stuff that brings me comfort and joy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one of the things that I like about this, is just sort of reveling in the joy of watching something just because it makes you happy.
Yeah. And then forcing that on someone else.
Yeah.
Like, this makes me happy and you're gonna like it.
Yep.
Like-
Yep. I don't think either of us have, like, had a viewing where we're like, wow, you're right. This is my new favorite movie.
Yeah, I've liked most of your movies.
I've liked most of your movies.
There's only, so far, the only one, I guess The Last Unicorn struck out for you.
Yeah.
And Pride and Prejudice and Zombies kind of struck out for me.
Yeah.
Although I did really enjoy the first half of the film.
Yes. I think that's kind of... That's kind of been the interesting thing. We've both liked what we've shown each other.
Yes.
And yeah, I think there's something to be said for, like, usually I'm like, oh, I need to go watch something new. And
mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I haven't had the means to with theaters being closed and stuff, but I'm like, no, you know what? I'm gonna relive things that just make me happy. So if I've watched Kiki's Delivery Service 10 times this year, I'm okay with that. Or if I've watched Beauty and the Beast 10 times this year.
Which version?
Did you just ask me that question?
The good version, right?
The good version.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I don't know.
Because I hate the live action Beauty and the Beast doesn't mean that many other people do. I have to check.
It's so funny, when it first came out, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was only when I was driving away from the movie and I stopped and thought about it that I was like, wait a minute!
Yeah.
What was that? So, no, I think the original animated is a perfect film.
It is a perfect film.
Yeah.
Thank you, Howard Ashman.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that we've been rewatching that bring us joy. Well, you have not been rewatching this. So we are going to start uploading some podcasts on YouTube just to give you guys easier access. So the old ones will be up there too, but we're going to do like some little like side stuff.
Side quests.
Yeah. We might talk some more about like TV shows and things that aren't strictly movies in a very minor capacity on that. And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because my childhood... Well, it's actually more of a college love. I got really into it in college. But I went back and started rewatching the, like, old episodes of Naruto. Like, first couple of episodes. Like, I'm currently at the Chunin exams, and you're looking at me like that I'm speaking gibberish. And that's fine.
But, okay, so here's... Before you explain what we're doing, which I think will make more sense once I kind of give my two cents. So, I have grown up... and by grown up, I really mean middle school and high school, just sort of, like, tangentially related to Naruto. I I watched some anime in high school and college. I still watch anime occasionally. Some of my favorite shows are anime. Mm. But I never got into the long series anime. Mm. My friends were obsessed with Naruto. Mm-hmm. Cosplayed Naruto. I've watched one or two episodes in their entirety, maybe. Mm-hmm. I may have watched, like, the first, like, 12 episodes long ago.
Yeah.
But, like, it's one of those things that I have been around so long. Uh-huh. I feel like I have greater knowledge of it than I probably do.
So we're gonna test that knowledge on our YouTube channel. I've made a little slideshow of Naruto characters, and she's gonna tell me their names and as much as she knows about them.
Yeah.
I've broken it down into four tiers, so there'll be easy, medium, difficult, and impossible.
Can I be honest? I'm gonna start losing at... If I make it through all the easy ones and I get them all right, I'm gonna be really proud of
myself.
If
you make it through tier one, I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay.
Tier two is when you should
medium
struggle.
Is when I should start struggling.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So we'll link some stuff on our social media to that when it's done, if you're interested. But yeah, that's been my like childhood thing that I've been more like college age, but like really going back to is Naruto. I love that little dweeb. He has faith that everything's gonna be okay. Believe it. And I just have lots of feels, okay? So that's been really fun. But speaking of things...
Were we about to make the same transition? Go for it.
Speaking of things that we enjoyed in our childhood...
Hey!
This week, we're gonna be watching the Lizzie McGuire movie. So before we really get into that, Lizzie, what's the vibe?
The vibe is Prosecco and chocolate ice cream.
Because...
We probably should have gotten gelato.
We should have gotten gelato. But, I guess the idea was kind of when in Rome, drink what yes. the Romans do, I guess. But red wine seemed a little too...
way too heavy for this.
Way too heavy, way too grown up. So we went with something light and bubbly like Lizzie McGuire.
You can't drink the same thing you drank for Dracula when you're watching the Lizzie McGuire
movie. No, you really can't. So it's a Prosecco kind of night. So let's get into it. I guess first let me give a brief synopsis of the film.
Go for it.
And then I'm going to give you some stats and then we'll go through what you expect. And then why I like it. So, brief synopsis of the film. Lizzie McGuire and her best friend Gordo, along with their class, go on a field trip, a, like, summer vacation, school-sanctioned trip to Rome. I don't know what kind of school they're going to, that they got to go to Rome. I guess it's, like, a foreign exchange kind of thing. I don't know.
Sure.
But they go to Rome... and Lizzie McGuire meets Paolo, who's a pop star, and he normally sings in a duo group with a girl whose name escapes me, but she looks just like Lizzie McGuire with brown hair, and he's like, she won't sing with me anymore, like, will you pretend to be her so that the show can go on? And of course, he's a dreamboat, and Lizzie McGuire's like, sure. And then she goes on this crazy adventure where she gets to be a pop star in Rome. And as a kid, it just made me really jealous because I wanted some random Italian dude to find me on the street and be like, you should come be a pop star with me. And it didn't happen. And so specifically what I need to express here is that when I was 15 years old, going on 16, I went to Italy because my sister lived there. My brother-in-law was in the Navy. He recently retired. And he was stationed in Gaeta, Italy. And we stayed in Gaeta for a bit. And then we went to Rome and Florence and up into Tuscany. And it was awesome. And I was like, surely some Italian boy is going to find me and sweep me off my feet. And I'm going to run away on his Vespa with him. And it didn't happen. You know, like, ugh, it just... You know what did happen, though?
What did happen?
My dad is a big, well, my dad and I both, and my sister, we're all big University of Georgia fans.
Go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs. So we were in the Vatican, and I swear to God, all of a sudden we hear, Go Dawgs! And we turn around, and there's this group of people wearing Georgia paraphernalia, and they just point at us from across, like, the big open space of the Vatican. And we're all like, Go Dawgs! And it was just such a random thing to run into in Italy.
That's so cool.
But it was really, really fun. But yeah, so I was severely disappointed with that. But I've never been disappointed with the Lizzie McGuire movie. However, seems like most audiences and critics were. It has a 41% on the tomato meter for critics score and a 49% for audience score.
That's not that... That's honestly not as big a difference as I expected there to be.
Yeah, but what's so funny is that when you read the reviews, most of them say things like, Duff is a very charming young actress, but the material just isn't there. No three coins in the fountain cliches left unused in this inane confection that is sugar-coated blandness personified and not remotely funny. Basically, that's what most of the critics are saying. Just like, hey, this movie sucks. The ones who do like it give it like a 3 out of 5. So they're like, meh, it's a movie. And then you get into the like the audience reviews. Disney is kind of ruining the film industry. With expletive like this. Let's face it, our crush on Hilary Duff is as far in the past as is DuckTales, which has been rebooted, thank you.
I was about to say, don't you dare compare this to DuckTales.
DuckTales is great, and so is this. But a lot of the audience scores, even the positive ones, are like, I loved this movie when I was little. As an adult, I recognize it's terrible, but I loved it when I was little.
When I was little.
So it's not a good movie, but by God, it is a fun movie. Mm. And What Dreams Are Made Of is a bop.
It is.
A bop.
Thoroughly enjoyed.
It's so good. So what are you expecting from this movie? You've seen it, haven't you?
A long time ago.
Okay.
And it's funny because, like, there's parts of it I remember so clearly, but I feel like those were all the parts that kept getting shown again and again on Disney Channel, like, in their promos for it.
Yeah.
I loved the Lizzie McGuire TV show.
Oh, yeah.
But part of what I loved about it was that, while it was silly and goofy, it still felt like it had stuff in it that was very down to earth.
Yeah.
And I even remember when I was a kid, when this was coming out, I was like, wait, why are they in Rome? Why is she a pop star? She's supposed to be just like me.
It is. It is such a drastic thing. Like they always teetered around stuff like this on Lizzie McGuire. Like, there was the episode where Aaron Carter played mini golf with her.
I remember
that.
Do you
remember that?
But as I've stated before on this show, I had such a deep and abiding crush on Aaron Carter.
It was okay.
It was fine. Again, that's the kind of fantasy that I'm like, yeah, she's just like me, and Aaron Carter's gonna play mini golf with me one day.
You know what episode stands out so drastically in my mind?
Which one?
Do you remember the one where she decides that she wants to go shopping for a bra?
Yes!
And she's like, I knew that was what you were gonna say!
I knew that's what you were gonna say! I was like, you're either gonna say the one where they're going and buying a bra, or the one where Miranda passes out because she hasn't eaten anything.
Yes! They tackled anorexia. I remember that.
There was also one, and I don't remember why, I don't know why I remember this subplot, but there's one where Max has a part in a school play. And he turns into such a little monster. He has one line.
I remember that. I remember there's one, too, where Lizzie goes up to her parents. She's like, Mom, Dad, where do we come from? And they're like, oh, honey, did you not understand? Okay, well, let's start from the beginning. So when two people love each other very much, and she's like, ew, no, like, our heritage. Like, what are we? And they're like, oh, we're Irish. Like, for some reason, That, I remember that one vividly, but for some reason, the bra scene lives in my head rent-free for all eternity. Like, I just have Hillary Duff going, I want a bra! And then, like, zooming in on her face dramatically.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Is that set the expectation that one day I was going to have to fight my mom to go buy a bra.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was the one who approached me and was like...
Yeah, she was like, it's time.
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where Kate... Is it Kate who... Yeah, Kate breaks her arm. And Lizzie teaches her how to do a one-handed cartwheel.
Yes!
Yeah, that was a great one.
Yep.
Oh, and then I don't remember... It might even be in the Lizzie McGuire movie. It's either that or in the show, but there's one where Ethan explains how he keeps his hair so nice.
I don't remember this.
It's like...
Can I be honest? Ethan was my favorite character.
Oh, Ethan was everyone's favorite character. That's not true. Miranda was my favorite character. We're going to talk about her in a second, because I said some stuff last week that wasn't completely
I know
accurate.
She's not in this movie.
She's not in this movie. We're going to talk about her in a second. But there's a scene, Ethan goes, they're like, how do you keep your hair so nice? He goes... Okay, like, you know how, like, the shampoo bottle says, like, rinse, lather, rinse, repeat? I don't repeat. Yeah, they just, like, put that on the bottle to get you to, like, use more shampoo so you have to buy more. And it's like...
Can I be honest?
It's like...
I live by that logic 100%.
Right? Me too! It's funny because, like... But what's so funny about it is he's saying it like it's some sage advice, and like I don't know a single person who repeats the process. So let's talk about Miranda. So the actress who played Miranda, last week I said that I thought she actually got kicked off the show and the movie because of drugs. That's not true. I did some research. So she actually got cast in a feature film. That didn't really go anywhere. But there was a conflict of scheduling between the Lizzie McGuire movie and that movie, and she chose that instead because it was a bigger part for her. And of course, it didn't really amount to much. But the reason that I thought that it was a drug issue is because she did actually have some drug problems after Lizzie McGuire ended. But as far as I know, she is clean now, I think, and it's good. I know they were talking about doing a Lizzie McGuire reboot on Disney Plus.
Really?
Yeah, and Hilary Duff has signed on. The guy who played Gordo signed on. The parents are back. I'm pretty sure the brother's back. And I think Miranda was kind of the last piece of the puzzle, and I think she said that she was willing to do it. So,
interesting.
Fingers crossed we'll have the whole gang back,
but great.
I think it's been tabled for now because...
Yeah.
2020. So what, do we what you were expecting?
I kind of went into, like, what I remembered from it. I am expecting this to be about the same speed as, like, the Mary-Kate and Ashley movies.
Yes.
I am expecting gratuitous Italy shots.
Mm-hmm.
There should be at least one Vespa.
There's a whole Vespa sequence.
Yeah. That's probably where you get a lot of the gratuitous Italy shots. I expect there to be a montage of her training to be a pop star where she falls down in front of, like, a mirror. Like, she's, like, trying to get a dance move in front of a mirror, but she keeps falling.
Yeah.
I'm expecting... I really hope Ethan has a subplot or a side quest or something. I just really want to know what that boy is doing in Italy. But I want her... It seems like she's going to fall for the pop star. But in the end, she realizes that Gordo has been there for her all along.
Of course, Gordo.
That's my expectations.
You won't be disappointed then.
Cool.
Well...
I'll be right.
You'll be right. That's true. So the reason I love this movie so much, honestly, I think it's just because I saw it at such a young age. It's not a great film. Objectively, it's not. It's not a great film. But the soundtrack slaps. It's so good. And honestly, just the scenery of Rome is great. Rome is actually kind of a stinky city. It wasn't my favorite place when I was in Italy. There are, like, Italy is gorgeous. The small town of Gaeta was the coolest place I've been in my entire life. Because it was, like, right on the Mediterranean, and, oh, you know Pirates of the Caribbean, when they go to the Isla de la Muerte or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, that was shot right off the coast of Gaeta.
Oh,
you can see
cool.
the cliffs. We were supposed to go tour it, but our tour guide decided to go on strike that day, so...
Oh my! Okay!
We didn't go see it. But we got to see it from the dock, which was still really cool. But yeah, so it's, like, it's very, like, beautiful, Mediterranean, spectacular. It's super awesome. But yeah, it's just not, this movie is what you wish Rome was, you know? It's very idyllic. And it's just fun.
Yeah.
So, without further ado.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's do this.
All right, the Lizzie McGuire movie, everybody.
Featuring Lizzie McGuire. So,
this is what dreams are made of, Lizzie.
That song is awesome.
So I kind of had an epiphany while watching this movie.
Yes.
I think the what dreams are made of part is the only thing that's really in my treasure box.
Yep.
I remember it being so much better than that.
I could have told you that.
I remember it being so good. I remember being like 12 when this came out and Paolo walked on screen and I was like, I'm in love.
The first thing I said was, he looks like Fez from that 70s
show. He does. He does.
I think I ruined Paolo forever for you.
You did ruin Paolo. Well, Paolo also kind of ruined
Paolo
himself.
Ruined Paolo.
Sing to me, Paolo.
I remembered that line.
Yeah.
I'm much more interested in the romantic exploits of the principal and Sergei the bodyguard.
Right?
I don't know if that's me being an adult or if that's how bad this movie is.
No, you... As we were watching it, you saw, like, the
first one, okay, so the
who
first...
Who was it?
As soon as the principal appeared, she was riding on one of those airport security trams,
oh.
And I was like, I ship her with the guy driving the tram, and you were like, what? I said, I just ship it. And then he went away, he wasn't gonna be a character. So then they got on the bus, and the guy driving the bus was wearing a gladiator costume. I was like, okay, take that back, new ship. But as soon as they were together in the same space, I was like,
no,
oh, this is
two.
It.
So let's start with
that
Sergei.
That is
then.
What dreams are made of.
Let's talk about Sergei then.
Be the man Sergei wants you to be. He's
yes.
disappointed that you were mean to Lizzie McGuire.
What was the thing he said that Kyle was noting?
Oh, he cannot sing the music, so now he has to face the music.
Ooh, burn! Good one, Sergei.
I'm just saying, someone at Disney got paid to write this movie, which included the line, freaky, way freaky, way freaky.
And they got paid a crap ton of money for it, too.
Oh my gosh. It was bad.
Man.
Also, Hilary Duff's acting style is just change my face as many times as I can in a 10-second shot, and that is acting.
In her defense, she was, like, 15.
And, it, that kind of works for, like, the cheesy 90s show.
It works better for the show than it does for the film.
It did not work for this film.
No, and some of what made the show... sorry, I'm starting to yawn. Some of what made the show... great, just is absent in the movie. Like, Miranda is noticeably absent.
Yes.
Even though Gordo comes in clutch this entire film.
Gordo is goals. And I said in the beginning... Well, actually, I'll let you finish your thought before I talk about Gordo.
Well, my point is that part of what makes the show so great is actually seeing Gordo, Lizzie, and Miranda all interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And even though Gordo is in a pretty decent chunk of this movie, mm-hmm. he is not with Lizzie for most of this movie. And so that is kind of missing.
Yeah. So should I go through my small handful of likes in a consistent order before I absolutely trash this?
Let's start with the likes.
So I've already said I like Sergei. I like Gordo in this movie a lot because when I assumed he was gonna start off like immediately distrusting of this guy and not like him because he's jealous, and he hits that point, but he only hits that point when he has good reason to.
Yeah.
And that's just so refreshing from the guy friend love interest, because usually they're just way hyper overprotective.
Yeah, usually they're like entitled jerks who think they deserve to be with the girl just because they're nice.
Gordo is a legitimately good guy.
Yeah.
He does not have nice guy syndrome. He is a legitimately nice guy.
Gordo is the best friend that the girl actually ends up with at the end of the movie because they're a good person to be with.
Yes.
He is the wise, reliable choice.
Yes.
He's cute. He's sweet. He gives Lizzie her autonomy. Mm-hmm. He values their friendship. He sacrifices himself.
In a way that makes no sense, but who cares?
Who cares about the logic? It was beautiful.
And apricots. I don't know.
I don't understand the apricots.
So I liked Sergei. I liked Gordo. As always, Ethan Kraft is peak himbo material.
I love that boy. That himbo.
Gosh.
What was the thing he says? Like, you gotta swerve it.
Slow curve?
Oh, the slow curve.
Which I still don't know what that is or what that means.
You know what? I think
that boy just wanted to eat a plate of spaghetti.
My favorite is when he just, like, steals a plate of spaghetti at the end.
He didn't order those plates of spaghetti.
You just take it. And he takes this big old bite of spaghetti and there's not a lick of sauce on it. Not even a smidge. And it's like, ew! Mix it up, boy!
Oh,
nasty.
My gosh. So yeah, those were like the three things I liked about and what dreams are made of.
Yeah, that whole sequence is just awesome. A few other things that I like. So I was telling you that I went and I was in Italy for a bit. And there's a line where Lizzie goes, she says something like, do you know how to drive this thing? Referring to the Vespa. And Paolo says, like, this is Italy. Nobody knows how to drive. And I was like, that is accurate.
Yep.
Italian driving rules are just very different from every other place I've ever been. And they're very hectic and chaotic. And they seem to get around just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the car with my sister and my brother-in-law while they were trying to navigate it as, like, Americans was kind of terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So that part always makes me giggle. This movie makes Rome look a lot nicer than it is in real life. You know, it's just, you know how some big cities are just kind of, like, stinky?
Yeah.
Just, like, nasty big city grime. Rome kind of has that going on.
Right. This definitely romanticizes it.
Yeah. Which it is very romantic. Like, the Trevi Fountain looks as gorgeous in real life as it did in the film.
So, you know what's funny? I'm actually kind of a sucker for movies that romanticize, like, a city.
Yeah.
I love Midnight in Paris. It's one of my favorite films. I love Roman Holiday.
Yeah.
Also one of my favorite films. I don't know. I wasn't really feeling the shots of Rome in this city.
Yeah, well, it's also
it was kind of just like the big highlights.
Yeah, and all of them are just Lizzie McGuire on a Vespa looking cute in her, like, early 2000s
and
getup.
And she has the same expression
and Rome
all
is
of
just
them.
In the background. Ah! Ah! Kyle! Kyle! Kyle!
There's a cockroach.
We found him! Get him!
He's back!
Get him!
This happened earlier.
Yes, we're recording. Yep. Get him!
This is... So... All is well.
So shout out to Kyle for killing the cockroach.
That was a biggie. That was really bad.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Okay.
I'm drinking Prosecco now for a completely different reason. Has nothing to do with the vibe of the movie. It's just trying to, like, drown out the memory of that cockroach.
Wow.
Oh my god.
That was a lot.
So Sergey?
No, we were talking about the
Ethan.
We were talking about the shots of the city. About, like,
wow, I just, like, erased part of that from my memory.
We don't need to go back. It's fine. I have plenty of other awful things to complain about with this movie.
You know what bugs me? Okay.
What bugs you about this
movie? No! Don't!
Ugh. What's just... I can't think of another pun. You're trying to think of
one that's, like, appropriate.
I tried really hard.
I don't like Claire in this movie. Because she's nice.
Right?
Which I'm fine. I am fine.
Wait, is it Claire or is it Kate?
Kate, whatever. Who cares? Who cares?
Mean girl.
The mean girl. I'm all for mean girls getting a redemption arc. I'm all for mean girls realizing that friendship. Yeah. There's no moment of reflection that changes anything.
And there's not even like, it's not even like, fine, I'll help you. But if you do this, like, yeah. There's not even that.
She's literally like, I'm just going to suddenly become your best friend for no reason.
Needs this.
The plot needs me.
Miranda wasn't there, so we have
her. It's so true.
Okay, do you want to know why else I feel like an adult watching this movie? Because the principal is like, you owe me 2 papers before the end of this trip, and it never comes up again, and she's never worried about it.
We were stressed out the whole time, going, when is she going to write her papers?
I thought she was going to ask Sergey to write them for her, but she didn't. And I'm like, you have 2 papers to write. Jesus. To be fair, the principal could not ask that of her because it could not be a graded assignment.
That's true.
But.
That's true.
I don't know, man. That was the very adult response. I was more interested in the principal's love life and the papers that Lizzie McGuire wasn't writing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Again, just... And here's the thing. I am all for silly fantasy wish fulfillment. Mm-hmm. As long as that silly fantasy wish fulfillment is self-aware to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I look at... So, like, I have to compare these to the Princess Diaries. Because I feel like they're begging to be compared to the Princess Diaries. Now, for one thing, my fantasy is becoming a princess, not a pop star. So maybe you were a little girl and, like, you really wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah.
This didn't.
See, mine depended... Depends... on the day.
Appreciate the honesty. We're all there.
There are days where I'm like sitting at my desk at work, like, you know, maybe one day we'll have like a faculty party and there'll be like karaoke and I'll sing and somebody's husband will be like a record producer and he'll be like, you're such a good singer, and then I'll get signed and I won't ever have to go to my normal job again and I'll just become a pop star. Like, see, that's about 50% of my fantasies. The other 50%,
Julie Andrews shows up.
Yeah, and she's my grandmother. Yeah. And I become Princess of Genovia. Yeah. So,
see, 100% of mine, well, no, of like this kind of fantasy wish fulfillment, that's where I tend to lean. Mm-hmm. But like the first Princess Diaries is self-aware enough. But even in its silliness, there's some things about it that still kind of make sense.
There's some honesty to it. Yes. There's a lot of heart to it.
And then when you get to Princess Diaries 2, we throw all of that honesty and heart out the window, but mm-hmm. it's fine because we make up for it in absolute ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this film pushed that far enough. Instead, we got bad acting, bad wigs. It wasn't egregious enough for my 27-year-old self
to really revel.
Yeah. You know what I kind of want? As an older viewer, I actually want Paolo to be evil. He's not.
Yeah.
He's never bad. Like, at the end, you know, he looks at Lizzie, and he looks, like, so genuinely, like, in love with her, and has this, like, sweet little face. And you've been told that he is trying to
manipulate her,
and that he's using her to ruin Isabella's career. That's what you've been told. And everything the movie says that it's true. But what I kind of wanted was that moment where, like, Lizzie, like, overhears it. You know, I wanted her to be like, no, Paolo would never. And then she, like, overhears him being like, and then when the soundtrack doesn't come on and she has to sing for herself and she's terrible, Isabella's career will be ruined. Ah, ha, ha. Like, I kind of wanted him to be more villainous just because, like, everything else about this is so wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
That the fact that Paolo just, like, sings really bad and then runs off stage and has no career almost leaves me feeling bad for him, and I don't want to feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't feel anything for any of these characters, and I think that's where, again, except for Sergei, I don't know why.
Hey, Gordo, come on.
Gordo, I did have legitimate moments where I was like, oh no, Gordo.
You know what's my favorite, one of my favorite things about this movie? Wait, just Lizzie McGuire in general. Hilary Duff does this thing when she's acting where she goes,
oh, I wanted to make a...
It's my favorite.
I wanted to make a sippin' game out of every time she was like...
Right?
But why would he do that?
What? It's like...
Give a speech? Me?
Me?
Good lord.
It opens... Okay, oh, the tonal dissonance of opening with, like, a spy vibe, because... What's her little brother's name?
Oh my gosh,
Matt is, like, trying to, like, blackmail her.
Confused.
I remember being, like, 13 and sitting in the theater and being like, did I go into the right movie theater? Like, I kind of feel like that's a mistake if you're not gonna do it, like, really intentionally.
Also, okay... So, yeah, he had all this stuff on her,
mm-hmm.
and when they showed up at the junior high graduation,
oh my God.
So reminder that they are 14 in this entire movie, I kept waiting for him to, like, broadcast the video of her somewhere, and it was gonna be really embarrassing or whatever.
Yeah, he never does.
No.
Or, no, he sends it to freaking, like, USA Today, and for some reason,
but
they care.
No, that's the video of her, like, tripping.
Oh, that's right.
She
that's
also
right.
says to her mom, like, was your junior high graduation broadcast on NBC? And I was like, no, because no one
has
a
junior high graduation. Oh, I love the part where Kate clocks her for wearing the same outfit. Lizzie McGuire, you're an outfit repeater! And then it, like, echoes, and everybody's, like, looking, like, oh, I can't believe she wore the same outfit again. Like,
as
honest,
what?
I...
Again, so, are we to assume that she never wears the same clothes?
Kate would have murdered me. I wear the same clothes all the time. I have, like, staple outfits that I look good in, and I just keep recycling them.
But this was yet another example of, like, mean girl in movie who in real life would have been made fun of by
everyone.
No one
would have liked Kate.
No.
Kate would have been that girl in high school who thought she was superior to everyone else. And so everyone else made fun of her and talked bad about her behind her back.
Yeah.
She would get invited to parties so that people could make fun of her.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's another one of those, like, and this is true in all of them, like, Gordo would actually have friends.
Yep.
Lizzie would 100% be the popular girl.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's a lot of
Miranda would have a ton of friends.
Also, she makes fun of her outfits, but let's be real. In the early 2000s, we wanted
Everyone tried to replicate
all of those outfits.
Do you know how many hours I spent in Limited 2 trying to get jeans that look just like Lizzie McGuire's?
Oh, this was the most Limited 2 Justice.
Justice.
Yep.
Well, isn't Limited 2, didn't Justice get isn't it just the same thing? They got, like, rebranded?
I don't think it got rebranded. I think they may have been, like, you remember, like, how, sister stores, remember kinda? How there was Claire's and then there was Icing? And when you were just a little too old for Claire's, mm-hmm. you went to Icing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you get a little bit older and you realize that Icing sucks and you go back to Claire's because it's more fun.
30-second story that has nothing to do with the Lizzie McGuire movie. The greatest thing that ever happened to me at the mall was I was shopping in Icing and my friends were towards the back and I was in the middle of the store. And I watched three teenage boys walk into Icing and talk to the lady at the counter. And I did not hear what they said, but she answered them very loudly, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. We only pierce ears here." And it was the greatest thing I ever heard in my entire life. And they all walked out dejected.
I want to know what they were going to pierce.
Right? Man, the 2000s were a different time. Right?
Could have been an eyebrow. That was a trend. Could have been
a nose.
Right? Noses are still cool. Eyebrows, it takes a certain kind of person to pull off an eyebrow piercing, and there are people who can really rock it. Back in the early 2000s, though, everyone thought that they could rock it, and a lot more people had eyebrow piercings than had any business having eyebrow piercings. But side note, just as a rant, if you are young, if you're 13 and you have not yet gotten any piercings and you're thinking about getting your ears pierced, I beg you to not go to Claire's. Don't go to Claire's. Don't go to Icing. If they have a piercing...
Is Icing still a thing?
I don't know.
I don't think they are.
Regardless, if you walk in and they have a piercing gun, walk back out.
Mm.
You need to go to, like, a tattoo parlor. And not every tattoo parlor will, like, let kids under 18 come in. Sometimes they will for piercings. But, you know, just, like, call ahead and ask. Because they're just going to be way cleaner. And your piercer's actually going to know what they're doing. Like, the girl who pierced your ears at Claire's got trained to do that, like, 2 weeks before you walked into the store. Mm. My Claire's piercings are completely uneven.
Mm.
They're garbage. All my piercings I got done by a guy named Randy. He's a piercer at the place I go. Every single one I've got has been amazing. The only one I've ever had issues with, he, like, fixed it and re-pierced it free of charge and, like, walked me through how to make sure that I was taking care of it right and, like, actually cared and had a great deal of knowledge. So
that is a good wisdom.
That's my little soapbox. I'll get down from it now. But I wish someone had told me that before I got my ears pierced at Claire's. Because it was what you did. Everybody got their ears pierced at Claire's.
Yeah. So, I guess I really don't have any final, like, intelligent thoughts on this. I think
there's not a lot good to say.
I think I kind of hoped that this would be worse than it was so that I could kind of, like, enjoy it and revel in it more, but it was just very much meh for me. So
I assume this is not going in your treasure pile.
No, this is going in my trash pile.
To be honest, on rewatching it as a 28-year-old, to be honest, the last time I saw it, I was about 21, and I was very lit.
Mm.
So. Rewatching it as a 28-year-old, I would like to cut the frames of the film out that compose basically Gordo showing up and being like, "Hey, Lizzie, he's duping you. Go on stage and sing." And then the whole "This is what dreams are made of" sequence, and then Paolo going off stage, and then that last bit where Sergei looks at the principal and they, like, make eyes at each other.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I want from
that's
this movie.
That's the whole movie. Got it.
This is what dreams are made of.
What's your final rating?
Oh, fan. This movie is listening to This Is What Dreams Are Made Of when Paolo sings it.
Mm.
Sing to me, Paolo. Like, when he's not lip syncing. Oh. That's what this movie is.
This movie is
Lizzie McGuire when she's asked to do anything.
And she blinks a lot.
Yeah. Yep.
Some of her outfits were fire, though.
For early 2000s? This was traveling through time in regards to that.
Can we take a second and talk about the fact that, like, fashion repeats every couple years, right?
Yeah.
And right now, like, when you look at the Gen Z kids walking around, they're, like, vibing some of the 90s looks.
Yeah.
Like, I saw frosted tips on, like, an 18-year-old the other day and about, like, gagged. And I never understood, like, when I was in high school and we were all obsessed with the 80s and my mom was like, ew, I hate this. And I was like, Mom, you're such a buzzkill. And now that it's happening to me with, like, the 90s and the early 2000s, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And as soon as we get into, like, hardcore resurgence of, like, limited two style, like, early 2000s fashion, I feel like I'm gonna die inside.
Yeah. That will be a thing. Yeah.
So the Lizzie McGuire movie was a bust, but I had a lot of fun yeah. watching it.
Yeah. Not the Lizzie I choose to identify with.
Can we name the roach Paolo?
Paolo the roach.
Paolo. Sing to me, Paolo. So what are we watching next?
So I was up in the air about a couple different ones. I was trying to think if there was some equivalent from my childhood that you had not seen. I'll run the gambit of Mary-Kate and Ashley movies with you at some point and see if there's any that you didn't see that I loved.
I guarantee you I've seen all of them.
Yeah, you probably have.
I used to read the Mary-Kate and Ashley novelizations.
Me too!
Oh my god, they're so good! The mystery ones!
Those were so good!
Me and my friends used to play Mary-Kate and Ashley when we were little. Me and my friend Mackenzie Lee, and she would always be Ashley and I would be Mary-Kate. Because for some reason, Mary-Kate was cooler, even though they looked exactly the same.
I definitely liked Mary-Kate.
I do too! But, like, why?
I don't know.
They looked exactly the same.
Yup.
Mary-Kate usually played the more, like, tomboy cool
I think that was why.
Yeah, Ashley
and
was
I wasn't
really
a tomboy
one.
At all, but I wanted to be Mary-Kate.
Yeah, I wanted to be cool like her.
So, But instead of going that route, I decided, well, we're talking about, like, wish fulfillment movies. We are approaching ye old holiday season. I think it's time that we had a movie that was just, like, reveling in how bad it is. And I think it is time for my wish fulfillment.
I'm scared.
It is time for the Princess Switch. I'm so excited.
You know what? I think it's the same movie. I saw, like, Netflix is doing, like, a sequel.
Probably.
But there's, like, three princesses now?
Yes.
It's Vanessa Hudgens,
yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah,
I think that one of them's gonna be evil.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope so, at least. Well, there can't be three good princesses that all look identical.
Fair. One of them's gonna be messed up.
Yeah. Oh, and you know how the Lizzie McGuire movie, like, they had different hair colors? They don't even try that in this one.
They just all are the same.
Yep. Same hairstyle, same hair length, woo! Same hair color. It is all there, baby.
Man.
They don't even have to do the Parent Trap ear piercing and haircut.
Is the Parent Trap on our list?
It's not, but it probably should be when we do, like, a matchup.
Oh, we
one.
Should.
Yeah.
We should.
But, again, I, like, legitimately like The Parent Trap, and I think it's actually...
It's a really good movie.
It's a good movie, yeah.
It's a good movie. Dennis Quaid is great.
Dennis Quaid is here.
Jesse?
I think it was Chessie.
Chessie! It was Chessie. She was awesome.
Yeah. She was great.
I wanted Chessie to, like...
Everyone wanted a Chessie in their lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, right, yeah, so some...
Princess Switch.
Some cheesy holiday cheer is looming before us.
I love it.
And I am so ready.
Woo! All right.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Okay. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving, folks. But then you listen to this, it'll probably be post-Thanksgiving.
This is true.
I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I hope you ate lots of turkey and mashed potatoes, and I hope...
Pumpkin pie.
I hope you are full... And if you live in a different country and you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you still get really good food this week. And enjoy your week. Yeah, thank you for listening. We love and appreciate you guys. So, Princess Switch next week.
Woo!
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at LivinLizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trashy you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!